Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for tuning into The Scoop. I'm your host, Frank Chaparro, Director of Special Projects at The Block. We have Lee Jin joining us from Variant, partner there, third time on the show, first time alone. So we're going to trust you, see if you maybe get into some murky, unsavory waters. I'm sure you won't.
Oh, that's true. I guess it's my first time coming on alone. So that's exciting.
Thanks for having me. And it's been such an amazing, I don't know if this is a derivative of you being in New York and maybe needing some sort of thought escape, but I've been following, and I'm sure many people have been following your musings on meme coins. Part of the reason why we wanted to have you on, but I was sifting through it, and honestly, I just love how organic your thinking is. Like, it doesn't seem contrived, and it looks like you're having so much fun kind of parsing through this topic in a way that maybe just seems super greenfield to you, or like you really caught what is the expression, a firefly in a lantern, as it was. It's fun to see you having fun with it. What first got you interested in going down this rabbit hole?
Thank you so much. I've been having a lot of fun with it, and I know that it's a very controversial topic.
Yes, you've been getting some heat.
Yes, it's been getting a lot of heat, not just from outside of crypto, but surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, from inside of crypto as well. Meme coins are a very controversial topic, and some people have lots of feelings about them and don't like them and don't like that the space is pervaded by speculation. But from my vantage point, what I find really interesting about meme coins is just this thread throughout my career of being really interested in internet culture and communities and bottoms up movements. And I think meme coins are the pinnacle of internet culture. They are a way for people to express their beliefs, their values, to rally around something that they believe in, to very organically create this novel form of entertainment for themselves. Someone on Twitter called it a financial version of watching reality television. I think that's pretty apt as well. I've called them a way to like angel invest in culture, or a way to invest in attention, to express your beliefs about where attention is moving culturally. And so that's what I find really interesting about it. And so I think based on who you ask and what vantage point you're coming from, meme coins represent all sorts of different things to different people. They're really a Rorschach test for the person's like sort of foundational beliefs about everything from the markets to capitalism to culture to investing. So I just find them an endlessly fascinating topic, which you can probably tell from my writing.
Yes, you have an unbridled enthusiasm for the topic. And it's an interesting point that you make, right? Like, whether you view the world in a glass half empty capacity or a glass half full capacity might translate into how you view meme coins, whether it's something that is, you're sort of, you characterized it in a few different ways that people have described it. There's also this more dark and stormy idea that this is really just financial nihilism and illustrates the extent to which folks in certain demographics or groups have no access to any sort of financial upside aside from, and some folks might view this as being sad, pictures of dogs and cats. But we can get into that argument, but I want to start first with the basics of your writing and your thoughts on this, and we can get into the nihilistic element of financial markets later. The attention economy. In a sense, right, memes have always existed. Well, not in a sense. I think as humans, we've always had our own forms of memes, and then internet memes have existed for as long as Web 2 has. But there's been this value leakage, right? Like, if I'm behind the first viral, with the exception of whatever kickbacks you might get from a YouTube or something, but if I invented, we can think of some of our favorite memes. If I came up with that and that has now become part of the culture, I didn't benefit from that in any meaningful financial way. Meme coins allow you to do that. They prevent that value leakage. Can you walk us through that sort of, this positive element that you've identified here?
Yeah, exactly. So I've talked about how meme coins and in general crypto could be viewed as this extension and further step in the attention economy. And so backing up a second, like people often talk about Web 2 as the attention economy. And actually the term attention economy originates from even before the internet. It was coined in the 1970s by the social scientist. And he was talking about how you could analyze attention through this economic or market lens, where attention is a scarce resource. And so you could conceive of it as having the dynamics of supply and demand around it. You could price attention just like you price any other scarce resource. And so the concept of attention as being this market with supply and demand has existed for some number of decades. But the term attention economy has really, I think, become popularized in the era of like large internet platforms in Web 2, where people recognize that the end product that they're selling to brands, advertisers, people who want to spend on advertising is the collective attention of all of their users. And so the dominant business model of the Web 2 internet was advertising, and inherent in advertising is that you're selling attention. You're connecting people who are paying attention to the content of a platform to people who want to buy that attention, or advertisers. And so there's like a clearing price for these ads. Even on a micro level, you could view individual creators as being participants in the attention economy, where they have a lot of supply of attention from all of their followers. And then they try to monetize that in different ways by selling sponsored posts or advertisements or doing merchandise. But all of these forms of monetizing attention are really imperfect and lead to a lot of value leakage, where there's a lot of value that end users or other entities are deriving from this collective attention, but they're not capitalizing on that value in any way. So to give you an example, like, I think there's a lot of like really niche kind of educational creators on the internet who might get very few like total views on their YouTube videos, but each person who watches their video gets so much value from it. Like maybe it's a professional career related topic and it changes the trajectory of their career. Yeah. So you can think of like educational creators as one type of creators where there's a ton of value leakage around the value of the attention that they command, where every single end user might get a ton of value from the content that they're creating. Let's say it has like career implications for them or really turbocharges their career, but they're still monetizing it the same way that a creator of like viral internet videos would monetize it, which is like at a very low CPM. And so I think the existing attention economy doesn't capture the differences in the qualitative nature of attention or the intensity of attention. And that's what crypto introduces. All of these new assets like NFTs, tokens, meme coins, I think they're able to capture a qualitative element to attention and monetize that much more effectively. So that if you really love something, you're able to pay more for that token, that canonical token. Or if you really believe that a meme is going to take off, and you think, you know, by association, that meme coin is going to do better. Like that's a fungible way of pricing attention in a way that the Web 2 attention economy lacked. So yeah, that's why I described crypto as like this further evolution of the attention economy, one that is able to price attention and capture the value from attention much more accurately in a much more liquid market.
So are you saying that, let's say, for instance, the accurate pricing of attention is illustrated or evident in the price of Geo Bowden right now, or the price of a given NFT?
What I mean is like the value of any person's attention differs from person to person. So if I derive a ton of value from a piece of content, I'm willing to actually express that enthusiasm by paying more for it. I think one-of-one NFTs were the expression of this, where your super fan whose attention is actually worth more is able to pay more and bid more for a certain one-of-one NFT. And so in that way, like you can tell that you're able to capture like the full value of the attention of your super fans, much more so than in an advertising model where the attention of every given follower is quantified in the same way. It's sort of like flattening out all the differences between everyone's attention. And then for meme coins, I think meme coins are a really emergent market, and probably like the market around them isn't efficient, or like people don't really know how to quantify how attention translates into the meme coin price right now. But roughly speaking, you could say that the market caps of these tokens basically represent the amount of collective attention that they command in society. So if a given meme becomes more popular, then that associated token also should likely go up because more people would want to purchase it and hold it. And so in a way, you could view these meme coin markets as a prediction market for whether you think attention towards that meme is going to grow or not.
But not all of these meme coins are created equal. I love this tweet that you had on the sort of taxonomy of meme coins. And we mentioned it this morning in the newsletter.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So that got blasted out to all the Scoop newsletter readers. So you can sort of think about event-driven meme coins, which is the, you know, most popular. My biggest fumbled bag of all time in Geo Bowden. and you delineate four others, right? You have the sort of taking the existing meme culture or meme that exists in the regular world and then tokenizing it, in a sense, tokenizing it. Walk us through the way you break up this universe.
You know, sometimes these ideas come to me in my sleep and I'll wake up. I'll be like, I have to write this down. But I dream about meme coins now. Like another idea just came to me in my sleep last night that I have yet to write down. But
I think it's something to talk to your therapist. Anyway, I digress. I will cease my teasing.
No worries. Yes.
Walk us through the breakdown.
Meme coins are not like a one size fits all monolithic kind of category. There's actually a lot of variance between different types of meme coins, and there's probably more types of meme coins that have yet to emerge. So in my screenshot essay, I broke down, I think, five different types of meme coins that I characterized. There's like the meme first meme coins. These are the ones that are the most popular, the highest market caps. These are ones that piggyback off of an existing prevalent meme like Doge or Shib or even Whiff, like the image of the dog with hat was already a popular internet meme before the coin came around. So that's the meme first meme coins. Then I talked about community first meme coins or scene coins. Some people are calling them, where these tokens launch into a certain community. They act as a shelling point for that community to organize around. And the token can also play a role in enforcing various norms or behaviors that they deem valuable in that community. So an example here is DGEN, the Farcaster native meme coin, which launched and got airdropped to members of a certain channel in Farcaster and has now been embedded it into the product, and there's norms around tipping each other for great content on Farcaster using the DGEN token. So that's a community first meme coin or scene coin. And then there's token first meme coins, which are just tokens that launch really long tail. They don't have an existing meme. They don't have an existing community to begin with. These are a lot of like the really long tail tokens that you'll see on, you know, like any sort of DEX tool. Then there's product first meme coins, where there are tokens that are closely associated with a product, but don't actually have any sort of governance rights or economic rights over that product.
What's an example of that one? I feel like I have one at the tip of my tongue, but I can't.
Yeah. One would be WEN, the token that is associated with Jupiter, the DEX aggregator on Solana. They have the WEN meme coin as well as the Jupiter governance tokens. And these are actually separate tokens. So the WEN token would be like the Jupiter associated meme coin. You could also say things like Zorbs or Unisocks are.
Unisocks, like that's right. Yeah, because they're associated with Uni. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And anything can really become a meme coin at the end of the day. That might even be a sixth category, accidental meme coins where they just kind of capture the zeitgeist in some way. I can't think of an example, but you know, in the way in which like AMC just became a meme stock, like it was a movie theater, but then people kind of created this community around it in a way that
Yeah, it became a proxy for an expression of a belief in something. In this case, it was like sticking it to Wall Street investors.
Sticking it to Wall Street, yeah.
Yeah, but I agree with you. Anything can become a meme. Anything can become like this unit of cultural information that is really viral and transmits itself virally through society. And then in this taxonomy, the last category that I mentioned was event-based meme coins, where you have tokens that surge or get launched off the back of current events, which serve as a proxy for that particular idea or event. So Joe Biden is an example of that. I think with the upcoming election, there's all of these politician coins that are trending because people think one or the other is going to do better or rise in prominence.
So with Geo Bowden, I can't quite gronk whether Biden winning is good or bad, because it's like making fun of him, isn't it? So I can't, is it a pro-Biden coin or an anti-Biden coin? That's not really a question. I genuinely...
Yeah. It's strange. I mean, the internet takes on...
You can't even think about these things, you know.
It's really hard to predict. Like, I'll give you another crazy example that happened that I saw recently. There's a website for Solana meme coin trading called Pump. The URL is pump.fun. anyways, one of like the trending tokens on this site was actually a token called Test. And someone had created it and called it Test. They were like, please do not buy this token. This is just a test. And it was like a selfie that he had taken. And people found it using the site. And they were like, this is really funny. We should make this token Moon. And so a bunch of degens aped into this token. And the market cap got really high. All, you know, in this ironic way. So I think the internet is like just very challenging to predict in terms of what people are going to do and what are they going to find funny. And... yeah, that's what I find really interesting about meme coin trading and investing.
But Lee, this is what I think most folks, many of our more skeptical or jaded listeners might take issue with sort of your intrigue in this subject, is that it's just at first glance seems silly.
Well,
I mean, isn't this a waste of resources just pumping a test? Or speaks to the extent to which this is just a space filled with crazed basement dwelling mercenaries?
I think a lot of the disparagement around meme coins comes from people who just don't understand.
Aren't funny?
Yes. Although I would maybe some more nuance to that is like they don't understand the skill set that is involved in trading meme coins. And I actually argue that there is skill involved in trading meme coins. It's just a different skill set than what traditional investors are familiar with. The new skill set that meme coin trading enfranchises is being really internet native, living on the fringes of the internet, knowing where to look on social media, being on all the corners of Reddit and Twitter and Telegram groups. And that's like a very different skill set that is empowered versus the traditional investing skill set of like knowing how to analyze P&L or cash flows and building a DCF model.
Well, this is a super interesting thread. I want to stay on this. This is sort of thinking about how Lee approaches punting meme coins. Whether you do or do not, you have a view on it, and it's super interesting. I made two assumptions in my newsletter today, which you can challenge. I don't know if they're right or wrong. The first of which is that the TAM for some of these things is, you know, I remember back in 2020, 2021, or whenever it was, headlines that Doge was bigger than Deutsche Bank. And the fact of the matter is, a firm like Deutsche Bank has a relative addressable market, which is folks who need like very complex banking services. Whereas the TAM of a meme is really everyone who has internet and has some sort of weird sense of humor to a degree. And
yeah,
that's quite large. So, I mean, yes, you can kind of...
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I actually think that meme coins could have a larger or a higher ceiling than a lot of governance tokens that actually do have some theoretical claim on value. And that's because the claim on value, like the tangible kind of value associated with the latter, governance tokens, almost acts as this like artificial ceiling. It's like, how large can this thing actually get? You know, you have to do the cash flow analysis. And it kind of constrains the potential of it. Whereas a meme coin is unconstrained. It's literally just a bet on a cultural idea. And as you said, that can touch everyone. Everyone can become enthusiastic about a particular idea. It can like literally touch the entire planet. And so I think meme coins can actually be bigger than a lot of governance tokens. And if you look at coin market cap or whatever ranking of tokens by market cap, that's actually true, where I think Doge is trading at a higher market cap than a ton of like, you know, quote unquote, legitimate projects.
Which makes some people upset because they worked really hard. But at the end of the day, this is just how markets work. Like, you know, I work really hard and there are a lot of weird things that are worth more than what I do.
Yeah.
I think there's like a cognitive dissonance there that people can't seem to.
Right. And yeah, it's really interesting. I try to have conversations with people who are very anti-meme coins, and I try to get to the root of like, why do they feel the way they do? What are their actual criticisms? And usually the words...
Their mother didn't hug them enough.
Yeah, they won't really admit that. Instead, what they talk about is like, you know, how is this productive for society? Or like, what is the sustainable value that this is creating?
Sure.
And I just wonder if we have archaic notions of productivity. And like, what does productivity even mean? Like, at some level, meme coins are a product, and products are worth what people are willing to pay for them. And I wrote this in one of my other like manic screenshot essays, where I talked about how the most widespread problem in modernity is boredom and loneliness. So if you're able to invent a product that helps solve for people's boredom, their existential angst, their feeling of loneliness, then that is productive. That is solving a real pain point. And I think meme coins are that. They are helping people find entertainment, occupy their free time, feel less bored, feel less alone sometimes. And so I think they're just as valid as any other product category that people, you know, don't bat an eye around people buying things for.
Yeah. What value does, you know, to your point at the, you know, I think you used this analogy earlier in the conversation. What's the value in, you know, Vanderpump Rules or whatever you might happen to want to watch? Not to pick on Vanderpump Rules though, but trash TV, as they call it.
Yeah. Like, how are those considered productive? I don't understand why. Yeah. Like, there's just so many things that people consume that are questionable, but people seem to be picking on meme coins disproportionately.
So I want to just keep on this thread of what maybe makes it, maybe not even from an investment perspective, but from a just a general perspective, because a lot of this boils down to a lot of it is subjective, right? Are there any objective measures that underpin a successful meme coin across these categories, right? I mean, at the end of the day, it has to have something. What is it? It has to have that essence.
Yeah, I think the underlying all of these meme coins is the idea of memetics, where the idea of meme even comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, all of these meme coins could be analyzed through the lens of memetics, which is the study of how ideas propagate through society. How does information spread? And memetics is a field of study that, you know, is outside of the world of finance. It's just about cultural ideas and what makes things more transmissible or what makes things catchier than others. And there's some ideas around that. But I think memetics is really key to understanding the meme coin market too, because at the end of the day, like, these assets trade based off of the collective belief and attention of people. And so if you delve into like memetics as a discipline, There are lots of ideas around what makes some ideas more transmissible than others. And those, some of those dimensions include like, you know, perceived relevance to the audience member. How memorable is it? Like, is it like a very, does it provoke a strong emotional response? In which case it's like tends to be more memorable. How familiar is it is another dimension. Like if it's a familiar idea or concept, but a little bit iterated, that tends to do better than things that are just like so novel and out there for which people like don't have an existing taste.
I think that the Cambrian explosion of Solana memes provides, I mean, that's going to be something that I think folks will probably do a weird case study on 5 years from now, where everyone was trying to capture the success of what, you know, you saw in a few names. And basically you had 1,000 copycats within a day because of the cheapness of using Solana. They all were similar, right? Like, you know, kind of changing the letters around in a weird way, having the funky looking face, but Geo Bodin and a few others were successful while others weren't. What do you think maybe put within that category some ahead?
Yeah, I think this is an analysis that I'm trying to do right now, is like, what are the paths that successful meme coins took to get to where they are? Almost like a how I built this, but for meme coins.
Yeah.
How I built this. And so what are those similarities? I haven't done that full analysis yet, but from what I can tell, like the most successful meme coins generally like piggybacked off an idea or a concept that was already really popular. They had like a pretty sizable community from the get-go. Either that they launched into like, you know, maybe a subreddit around that idea, or they originated from like 4chan or something. They had like a group of people that sparked the original meme. And so the meme coin was then welcomed into that initial community. And then they tended to have like a lot of initial momentum. And then that momentum just carried them through
So momentum, community.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, if anyone's done like the full comprehensive analysis of like what makes successful meme coins successful, I would be really interested to see that. I do think there's probably a little bit of like catching lightning in a bottle and like path dependency of this influential.
Or as I said, what did I say? Capturing a firefly.
Similar idea. I knew what you were trying to say. Capturing a firefly is also challenging. Yeah, it requires
it is.
Yeah, but I think a lot of these cultural ideas, they just spread in this way, which is hard to predict. Like, do they get amplified by the right person at the right time to the right audience? And then...
Well, Lee, you're going to be having to think about these things given you're doing a meme coin hackathon. I don't quite know what that means, but it sounds provocative.
We don't know really what it means, but we thought it would be provocative. So we're really excited for this. It's on 420. Originally, it was going to be on 427 the week after, but I was like, actually, no, we have to do it on 420. There's no choice. And so anyways, yeah, it'll be at our office in New York, meme coin hackathon for 4 hours, 20 minutes. And we made a call out to builders of everything from meme coins to meme coin infrastructure, like social experiences, DEXs, Telegram bots. Anyone who's building around the meme coin ecosystem should come to this hackathon. Also, like people who are building apps that use meme coins as a go-to-market strategy, or are building apps that give meme coins utility. We'd love to see all of those ideas.
I think that's a great way to... You really kind of got to the last question or topic that I had in mind for the convo, which was meme coins as a go-to-market strategy. This is sort of your first sort of thought piece that led you down this rabbit hole, as of recently, at least. So I'm sure there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of projects that want to maybe incorporate memetics or meme coins into their strategy. We had Anatoly come on the show to talk about, I mean, I think I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'll make it my own analysis and not his. Saga's success, I mean, you can probably attribute a great a great amount of it. I don't want to speak too out of turn. I'll say 80% of it. I didn't turn that thing on until I had Bonk on it. Let's just be honest.
I only bought the second Saga because I was like, oh, maybe there's an airdrop.
And so what does that mean? Is that just free money, or is it something more in terms of the meme go-to-market strategy, the meme coin go-to-market strategy? Is it just giving people free money, or is it something else?
Yeah, great question. The way that I described it in my essay, I conceived of meme coins as a go-to-market strategy in the sense that meme coins, what do they represent fundamentally? They represent a community base that is really avid about that particular token and really has an intense kind of level of fervor about that token. And so if you're a new product, whether you're building a phone or you're building a new social app or whatever it might be, if you're building a new project and you want to bootstrap the user base for that project, an emerging go-to-market strategy that I'm seeing for builders is actually to partner or to integrate with a meme coin that has a lot of momentum behind it as a way to build up enthusiasm for that project. So examples of this include like Dracula, the short form video app that Alex Masmej just launched. They launched with support for DGEN payments, where you can buy a creator token in either Ether or you could buy it in DGEN. Another example is like BonkBot, which is a Telegram bot from a totally separate team than the team that launched the Bonk meme token. But because mm-hmm. they're like, you know, closely branded as Bonk affiliated, and also I think part of the fees from trading through the Telegram bot also goes towards buying and burning Bonk tokens. And so there's this close economic alignment that they have with Bonk. They were able to capture a lot of the Bonk community as users because they made, you know, Bonk users feel really aligned and feel like they were supporting them. And so this is like a go-to-market strategy that I think is going to become increasingly popular, where no matter what you're building at whatever layer of the stack, if you want to solve the cold start problem in terms of building distribution, you can look at like, what are the meme coin communities that have synergies with the user base that I want to attract
and align with that
or build utility for them, or like support their meme coin in my app as a payment mechanism or something like that. So I think it's like a very clever strategy, and it kind of inverts like the traditional way of doing go to market, which is first build a product, then try to market the product, then create memes around that product. In this go-to-market strategy, you're first identifying like what are the where are the communities already on the internet, and how can I get that community interested in my product?
But it's also not too different, right, Lee? I don't know why my mind is going to you know, what's that coffee shop that sort of is like known for you know, being a bit more conservative and pro-gun? But you have this already where you have different types of, you know, companies, target groups, and certain demos of people.
I agree with that.
Memes, you know, not that guns are a meme, but the meme of gun culture or the meme of whatever it might be.
Yeah, totally. Like it has parallels to just marketing in general.
Yeah, sure.
Marketers are trying to find, where's my tribe of users for this product? Like, where are they located and how do I target them? I think what's different about this meme coin go-to-market strategy is you have all the open on-chain data around literally who is a token holder of which project.
And totally.
You can target them with such precision. And then you can also provide financial value to those token holders, because if you support their meme coin or if you build utility around their meme coin, that theoretically could also help the value of their token holdings. So there's this like direct financial incentive in the meme coin as go-to-market world, whereas there wasn't really in the traditional marketing motion.
Very well said. Lee, very much appreciate you taking the time. Any closing thoughts? Anything that we didn't get to?
Yeah, today? Actually, a lot, because I've been manically writing.
So much.
I mean, maybe one short thing that I'll add is like everything that we just described as using around projects using meme coins as their go-to-market could also be inverted, where you could also see
the other way around.
Yeah, meme coins
bootstrap into something real.
Correct. Or meme coins are trying to bootstrap their own utility and their own attention by partnering with applications. They're trying to launch into certain communities or get attention by doing proactive outreach to projects or apps that have a larger user base. And so I'll bring up Dracula again. Like Dracula, a short video app similar to TikTok, they have a creator fund, which they're using to pay out to creators of like interesting content every week. And recently, this new meme coin called Goat gave this creator fund a large grant so that at the end of the day, creators can actually receive a portion of their grants in the Goat token. And so I thought that was a really clever distribution hack for a meme
coin.
That
is interesting.
Because you're able to like get all the attention, the users, as well as this broader distribution of holders by leveraging this creator grants program that already exists. So it flows both ways. Like meme coins thrive off of attention, and there's tactics that they can use as well to bootstrap their own attention. But anyways, I'll just park it there. We can talk about
this. I actually have another question. Okay. It might lead us into maybe one or two more questions, but from the perspective of you as a venture capitalist, we haven't talked about the actual job or sort of the more operational side, I guess you can call it. Are you having meme coins come, raising and equity safe SAF type rounds? I know we had the pre-sale drama, but do you actually have maybe, pitch decks of we want to start with a meme coin and then it's going to translate into XYZ and we need some equity funding?
Yeah. So we are interested in funding the whole gamut of this ecosystem. I'll say that up front. Like we're interested in funding meme coins. We do have meme coins in the fund.
Are those early stage equity?
No, they're just literally purchases.
You're just purchasing them, but
yes, any other trader would buy meme coins. So we have those in the fund, and then like we're also interested in investing in all the other surrounding infrastructure around meme coins, like the applications that are building utility around them or bootstrapping off of them or DEXs or Telegram bots, like, or new layer threes for meme coin trading. Like we're interested in that whole ecosystem.
New layer threes for meme coin trading.
That already is starting to pick up.
I have no idea. Yes. What is that?
There's entirely new layer threes that are being launched to facilitate even cheaper trading of meme coins. Because like the cost on L2, if there's a lot of activity on an L2, could actually be quite high. And a lot of these meme coins are very low cap. So there's a bunch of meme coins that have launched on various L3s. Like the DGEN token now has DGEN chain, which is an L3. And then there's a bunch of new tokens that are launching on that L3. So yeah, there's like new meme coin infrastructure, block space, apps, trading venues. And we're interested in the full range. And to answer your question, like, I have seen pitch decks for meme coins, but they're less so pitch decks for fundraising and more like
get involved with us.
Yeah, they're looking for partnerships. Like sometimes they're trying to pitch themselves to application developers to like add support for their meme coin. Because of everything that we discussed around how do they get attention and users. Generally, I would say like these meme coin teams don't like proactively raise venture capital or go pitch VCs. I think they have liquidity from day one. So they're able to just bootstrap themselves by selling a share of their tokens.
Mm. Fair enough. Well, Lee, thank you so much for joining the program. We'll talk to you soon and you'll get to come solo again.
Amazing. Thanks so much.
Take care. And The Scoop will be back with you again with another great guest. Have an awesome day. Thank you.